Okay, over to Las Vegas. Mark, also listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Hi, Mark. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you. My question is, my father holds to the idea that Christ is not fully human, and he might not have felt physical pain during his passion, just because I guess his point was he could do certain things that humans can't do, like walk on water or do certain things like vanish. And well, he was talking about Christ before his glorified state. So
yeah.
I know it's an old heresy, but I just want to know how to answer that, and maybe some biblical text that will show that. Yeah.
Sure, absolutely, and it's really a very important question, because I think now is this your father you're talking about? I think your father is unwittingly falling into a very ancient heresy of Gnosticism, and in particular the Docetist Gnostics, who claimed that Jesus never had a physical body. There were those among the Gnostics who taught that the Christ never had a body, but Jesus did. So Jesus was born of a regular sexual relationship between Mary and Joseph, and then at his baptism, the Christ came upon him, and then on the cross, the Christ left him. You know, the dove descends in Matthew 3:16, and then on the cross, he says, "Into thy hands," I think it's Luke's version, "into thy hands I commend my spirit," the spirit leaves him. So they wrongly understood that to be, that's when the Christ came upon Jesus and then left Jesus the man. But there were other Gnostics who were even more radical that said there was never a body to start with. Christ was a phantom. This is kind of what your father is getting at. He never really had a body. In fact, the word docetism comes from a Greek word which means to seem. So it seemed like, right, he had a body, but he fooled you. He really didn't have a body. But in fact, the Gospels are inundated with examples, and the entire New Testament, of how that is false. In fact, Jesus himself says in Matthew 24:39, after the resurrection, he says to the apostles, "Here, feel, I have flesh and bone. A spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see that I do." Because remember, some of them thought he was a ghost when he appeared after the resurrection, and he makes clear, no, here, flesh and bone. And as far as the suffering goes, you know, there are many texts, but one that comes to mind is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that tells us, "Christ, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who would obey him." And I'll throw in another one. Hebrews 2, verse 10 comes to mind. "For it became him, of whom are all things, by whom are all things, through whom are all things, to perfect the captain," or the author, "of our salvation through his suffering. Thus he was not ashamed to call us brethren." In other words, he's our brother. He suffered with us. He experienced real and true humanity. And this, my friend Mark, this is something that's so important. This is essential to our Catholic faith. This is essential to being a Christian. At its core, it ends up denying, you know, that Christ was in fact fully man, which St. John tells us, for example, in 1 John 4, verses 1 and 2, "If any man denies that Christ has come in the flesh," that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, "the same is Antichrist," right? So this is a real important point to communicate. The Gospels make clear Jesus had flesh and bone. He really did suffer, and his suffering was essential. It was a constitutive part of the salvific event that was Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Does that make sense, Mark?
Yes, wonderful. Can I just make a quick follow-up?
Sure, sure.
Yes. But how do you sort of convince him when he would say that he had certain abilities that is, I guess, superhuman, something
yes.
like that?
Yes. Oh, sure, Mark. What you do is you say, absolutely, these are called miracles, right? And the fact that, you know, Jesus walks through a wall, right, after the resurrection in John 20, 21 through 23, you know, the famous well, that whole scene there in John 20, even though he has a physical body, he said to Thomas, similar to what we saw there in Luke 24:39, here, you want to feel the holes in my hands and my side? Here I am, right? But yet he can walk through a wall in that same context. That is a miracle. And Jesus walked on water. He did all sorts of things. And yet Jesus also was hungry, right? He fasted for 40 days, we see. Where is that? In Matthew 4. And was hungry. Angels had to minister to him because he was so depleted of energy and such. So what you want to emphasize there is God can do that. God can perform miracles. I mean, you and I, by the power of God, could walk on water if God so willed a miracle in our lives. But that doesn't mean that we're not really human. That just means that God can empower us to do supernatural things. And think about it. I mean, just getting to heaven, my friend. Mark, if you and I make it to heaven, that's beyond the power of our created nature. We need supernatural power to get to our end, and that is heaven. So this faith of ours is all about supernatural power acting in our lives. And at times, we have men, throughout history, St. Gregory the Thaumaturge, for example, in the 3rd century, or St. Anthony, who have raised the dead. In fact, there's a great book, Tan Books, I think, still publishes, called Saints Who Have Raised the Dead, that documents almost 400, I think it's 300 and something, almost 400 examples of saints who have raised the dead over the centuries, right? The miracles of Padre Pio, look at his life, and some of those miracles are still with us today. I mean, we are a supernatural people. So, Mark, we have no problem seeing how God could empower Jesus, the God-man, in that sense. He empowered himself, right, because he's both God and man, to walk on water. That's called a miracle.